Of the world, Eve could not resist the temptation to please herself and not God. When Jesus faced the temptation to bring in his kingdom by using the levers of worldly power, he was strong to resist. He always chose God's way, not man's. Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 1.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. The gospel passage we heard read this morning begins with the words, "Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights." The Bible records only one occasion when Jesus fasted during his time on earth. It was in a remote desert. Matthew and Luke, and to a lesser extent Mark, give us accounts of the temptations. They mention a period of 40 days, which has been marked by the Christian church for over 1,000 years as the season of Lent. Medical scientists, and I know we have a few medics amongst us here, medics in general believe that people can survive without water for only a few days. That knowledge made the accounts of those trapped some weeks ago in the tragic Turkish-Syrian earthquake more harrowing than ever. People can survive without food for longer, but certainly I would suggest not for 40 days. And so the question arises, was the survival of Jesus in the desert miraculous, or do we look for something else in the accounts of his fast? I believe that the answer is yes. We look for something else. And why? Because I suggest 40 may have been a notional number. And what do I mean? Well, the number 40 has considerable significance in the Bible. Let me give you a few examples. In the mythical account of the flood in Genesis, we read that it rained for 40 days and nights. Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. The Israelites, having fled from Egypt, were tested in the desert for 40 years. It may have been, incidentally, much longer. Elijah the prophet fasted for 40 days. Jesus appeared to his followers for 40 days after the resurrection. Now, these are only a few examples, but I hope you get the point. The figure 40 should not be written in tablets of stone, whether referring to Moses on Mount Sinai, or Jesus in the desert, or elsewhere. However, despite what I, you, or anybody else may think, we will continue to sing the hymn which marks the beginning of Lent, whether we believe it literally or not, 40 days and 40 nights. The temptations should not be taken literally, as if Jesus was transported on a rapid journey driven by a demonic creature we call the devil. Nobody was present, so Jesus must have been describing in a fairly graphic form his own inner conflict. Jesus may have been physically hungry in the desert. That is highly likely. It is equally probable that he was experiencing a spiritual crisis, which in his case he was able to overcome. For me, and perhaps for you, we can understand and maybe know from experience the physical as well as the spiritual hunger which causes many people to live in misery and despair. So many in our society and world are victims of circumstances. They, and maybe at certain moments we ourselves, live in a desert of hopelessness, while at the other end of the scale, we are only too well aware that power can corrupt with terrible consequences. We don't have to cast our minds as far as Russia and a dictator there to understand that fact. And that is why we continue to need periods like Lent, because if we avail of the discipline associated with it, there is an opportunity to nourish both ourselves and others, and in a sense, to recharge what I'll call our spiritual batteries. A friend told me that a Muslim acquaintance of his, who is accustomed to responding to the call to prayer about 5 times every day, cannot understand the Western Christian's indifference to his or her faith. Religion, which is a term misunderstood and also abused, means a rule, which, if observed, can keep us fighting fit as disciples of Christ. Of course, temptation in whatever form we experience it will never be far away. How we deal with it is very much another matter. A few weeks ago, my wife and I drove through Enniskillen and passed the building which until recently housed all the pupils at Portora Royal School. One of its most famous pupils who attended the school in the mid-19th century was Oscar Wilde. He became so well known that even a ship bearing his name transported holidaymakers and others until recently from Ireland to France. Oscar Wilde was a colourful character who is reputed to have said on one occasion that the easiest way to overcome temptation is to give in to it. Wilde challenged the very strict moral conventions of his time and was to pay dearly for doing so. He was sent to prison, while his last days were spent in poverty and near isolation in a dingy flat in Paris. Wilde died about the same time as the writer of a typically what I call dreadful, judgmental Victorian hymn, which I have to force myself to sing, was written: "Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin." Long before Oscar Wilde strutted the stage in London and Paris, an outstanding Christian figure in the 5th century, St. Augustine, is supposed to have said, when enjoying the world of excessive wine, women, and song, before adopting a very strict approach to Christian living, "O Lord, make me good, but please not yet." More than any other time in the Christian year, Lent is a period when we're encouraged to admit that we have feet of clay, that we are not paragons of virtue, and could, in the words of the school exam report, do much better. A well-known TV commentator and presenter who spoke regularly about matters of faith about 40 years ago wrote that, and I quote him, "I find the devil easier to believe in than God because I have more to do with him." Now, we may be dismissive of a personified devil with horns sticking out of his head, and quite rightly so, because it's nonsense. But we would be foolish to reject the concept of an evil force. And that rears its ugly head in so many different ways. Think, for example, of the horrendous number of knife crimes in which teenagers have been murdered. Think of communities in socially deprived areas in the grip of fear because of drug barons and paramilitary elements. Think of those whose minds are so distorted that they would attempt to murder policemen and others in front of their children. Now, maybe those are extreme examples, but we don't have to look far, maybe no further than ourselves if we're honest, to encounter greed, dishonesty, bitterness, and sometimes, unfortunately, hatred. There's a saying that no one shall have conquered unless he has first struggled. James, in his short letter in the New Testament, wrote, "Blessed is he who endures under trials." Jesus was tempted, but he did not submit. Jesus taught us not to pray that we may be led into temptation per se, but if put to the test, then to deliver us from evil. The account of the temptations concludes with the statement and I don't take it literally, that the devil departed from Jesus until an opportune time. That highlights the fact that life is not so simple that we can assume when a crisis passes that it will never, never recur. The call to seek the Lord while he may be found can never be said too often. The search for the still small voice of God may seem elusive, but perseverance has to be the name of the game. And you know, and I do believe this, that when we focus on God, who in the words of the Psalms searches us out and knows us, we can, like Jesus, as he made his way from that desert or wilderness back to Galilee, return to daily living with the problems we have and the opportunities. We can do so, strengthened by the power of the Spirit.